Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Hey, the very last daf of Perek Ezeu Neshech. We are holding out the Mishnah on Ayin Dalit Amud Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Bar Simcha Aleha Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, and also by Shuli and Esti Rose in honor of our shul. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is first the Mishnah is going to discuss an exception to the Isser of Sa'a B'Sa'a, that even though you're not allowed to lend a pound of flour in order to get a pound back, because the price can change, there may be an exception to that Isser. Particularly, the Mishnah is going to allow lending an Aris the seeds that he needs to plant the field with. And the Brisa that the Gemara quotes is going to say not always. There's going to be a distinction between a case where the Aris already started his work and a case where he didn't. And the Gemara is going to try to reconcile our Mishnah with that Brisa. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether there's maybe another exception, a case where you can ever lend wheat and get back wheat. And then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to have a machlokas about sa'a b'sa'a when the borrower already has the payrolls in his house. So yes, I'm borrowing a pound of flour to give you back a pound of flour, but I already have a pound of flour at home. So does that make it any better? And the Gemara is going to discuss, can I borrow 2 pounds of flour if I already have a pound of flour at home? Meaning, if it does make it better, can I even borrow more than what I already have in my house? Then the Gemara is going to discuss various haterim to perhaps lend small amounts of ribbis, to collect small amounts of ribbis. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about bartering services with one another. It's also going to talk about all of the different people who violate averos when it comes to the ribbis arrangement. So the Gemara is going to discuss ribbis tevarim. It's going to discuss which lavin each participant in the ribbis arrangement violate, how many lavin each of them violated, which ones they violate. The Gemara is going to talk about lending money without edim is also lifneiver. I mean, just like lending money with ribbis is lifneiver, as is borrowing money with ribbis as is being an aid on a ribbis loan, all of that is lifneiver because you're helping other people do an aveira. There's another way to violate lifneiver when you do the mitzvah of lending someone money, and that is if you lend someone money without any aidim because you're giving him an opportunity to deny that the loan ever happened. So that discussion is going to bring us all the way to the end of the parak, to the end of parak Ezu Neshach. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Malvad Masarisav Chitin B'Chitin. A guy who owns a field is allowed to lend to his sharecropper a saw of chitim with the condition that he'll get back a saw of chitim from the grain that the field produces, aside from whatever share he's supposed to get in the field. Meaning, if a sharecropper is working the field with the deal that he's supposed to get 50%, then the owner of the field is supposed to get the other 50%. So in addition to the 50% that the owner gets, he's also going to get an additional sa'a from this field, from the sharecropper. And that's true even if the price of chitim goes up from the time that he lends it to him to the time that he pays it back. Lezera, and he's allowed to do this if it's for the sake of the planting that he needs to do in the field. But I'm not allowed to lend it to him in order for him to eat it. And the reason we have to mention that this heter of lending tevua to an aris lezera is because Shaya Rabbi Gamliel maldas aris of chidim chidim lezera biyokr vuzol bezol v'hukru is because and not the men ksharazol, because Rabbi Gamliel used to be extra machmir. He didn't do this. Whether the chidim were very expensive at the time that he lent it and cheap at the time that they paid it back, or vice versa, he would always only take back from the arisim kishar azul, whatever the cheaper price was. But Rav Gamliel's chumra to always take back the cheaper price was not because that's required, as we just said in our Mishnah. That's not required. You're allowed to do sa b'sa if you're giving him the chitim lezara. Rav Gamliel was al shirotz lahachmir latzmo. He wanted to be machmir on himself, an extra midas chasidus that Rav Gamliel wanted to do. But the Mishnah has to mention this heter because people might get wind of Rav Gamliel's hanhaga, and they might think that that's required the halacha. So far, exactly what it says in the Mishnah, that you can lend chitim bechitim to your sharecropper for planting planting purposes. However, now the Braisa adds a caveat. Medvar mamurim shelo yarad. That heter is only if the aris didn't already start his work. Aval yarad asur. But if he already started his work on this field, then you're not allowed to lend him chitim b'chitim, even if it's for zera. So it says, "Mar ma'ishatan dun de lo kamaflik ben yarad ben lo yarad ma'ishatan bra de kamaflik ben yarad ben lo yarad." Why is it that the Tan of our Mishnah didn't make this distinction between whether he started his work or not, and yet the Tan of the Braisa does make this distinction? Says the Gemara, "Amar Rava Rav Idi Azbara Nihali." Rav Idi explained that the answer is ba'asra de Tan didan in the place that where the Tan of our Mishnah lived, Arisa Yav Bizra. The common practice was that the Aris was the one who provided the seeds to plant the field, and therefore the halacha is Bein Yarad, Bein Lo Yarad, whether he already started working the field or whether he didn't. Kamed Lo Yav Bizra, Matzi Misalikle, calls man that the artist didn't provide the seeds, then the Balasada is able to put an end to this Arisus arrangement. So there's nothing that solidifies the Arisus arrangement until the seeds are here. And therefore, when the Balasada agrees to lend these Zra'im and he makes it tonight, but you got to give me back a little extra at the time that that you harvest the field and that you're going to give me my share, so kikanachas, then it's like a different aris arrangement. Meaning when they're making this arrangement, instead of it being a 50-50 arrangement, it's a 50 plus a sa'ah arrangement to a 50 minus a sa'ah arrangement. It's all part of the arisus arrangement. It's not considered to be alone. But ba'asra detana bara, but in the place where the braisa was written, mariara yav bizra, it was the common practice that the balasada is the one that supplies the Zra'im. So Ilo Yarad, if the guy had not started his work, the Matzi Misalik lay where the Balasada could still beg out of this Arisus arrangement because nothing had begun yet, nothing had started yet. So you could have the same idea that he could make he could make whatever tonight he wants because the deal hasn't been solidified yet. So it's not a loan, it's solidifying the deal in terms of what you're responsible to give me. Kikanachas, Abatzameach, Kikanachas. When the aris agrees to go into the field and to work the field, he's agreeing to do so for a little less than an aris otherwise normally would. But a yarad, but once the aris already goes into the field and the conditions are already set, that it's going to be 50% for the aris, 50% for the balasada, and there's no one, the balasada is not allowed to back out on that at this point, then aser, then it's going to be aser to say, oh yeah, but I'm going to give you chitim now, and now I expect more back from the field, because that's a halva'a. That's not changing, that's not just negotiating the conditions of the arisos. The conditions of the arisos are rock solid already. There's no changing that. That's a halva'a, and that's going to be a violation of sa'a b'sa'a. So now the Gemara brings a braisa that explains maybe there's a heter of lending peros even la achila to take back the same peros. Tan Rabbanan, omrad l'chveru, a person is allowed to say to his friend, halveni kor chitin v'kotitz lo damin, that lend me a kor of chitin, and we'll set the price at the current market price, so that I'm not going to be chayv to pay you back chitim, I'll pay you back money at the current market price. And if the chitim go up in value or down in value, I'll just give you money. And then if later huzlu, the chitim went down in value, nosin lo chitim, he'll give him actual wheat, hukru, nosin demehem. But if they go up in value, then I'll give you the money that it was worth at the time of the halva'a. So Frak the Gemara, why if they go down in value, is he allowed to give him wheat? Valo katsats. They already established at the time the amount of money that it was worth at the time of the loan. So Rav Sheshes says, yeah, we're missing a line over here. That if they were actually kotsats, that the amount of money that it's worth at the time of the loan, then it doesn't matter whether huzlu hukru, whether it goes down in value, up in value, you give that amount of money. The end of the Brice is talking about hachikamar, it's talking about a new case, im lo katsats. If at the time of the loan they did not establish an amount of money, he just says, I'll give you the amount of wheat back that you lent me, then huzlu notal chitav. If they went down in value, he gives him back the amount of wheat, but hukru, if they went up in value, so he can't give him the amount of wheat because that's going to be ribbis. I'm giving you, by giving the same wheat, I'm giving more value than you lent to me. So rather, no sin demeim, you're going to have to give whatever that wheat was worth at the time of the loan. So you're going to have to give give money instead of wheat. New Mishnah. A guy cannot say, give me a korchitin, and I'll give you back a korchitin at the time that the grain already ripens and we're ready to process it. Because maybe at the time that you're paying it back, the korchitin is going to be worth more, and therefore you're paying back more than you really borrowed. Aval, but if a lova happens to have chitim in his own house, in his own rishus, he just doesn't want to take it because, or he just doesn't have access to it because maybe he doesn't have the key. His child has the key. Kid went back to yeshiva with the key in his pocket. You know, this happens sometimes. Sometimes I'm the courier. You know, I go to yeshiva, I bring back the car keys to the parents who can't get into their own car. You know, so something like that. So he just doesn't have access to it right now, or he lost the key. So omelo. So you could say to the mother, halveni atshava b'niyatsha emsamavtech. Come, lend me this item until my son comes back from yeshiva, or I find the maftech, wherever it may be. Because since I have the wheat, the chachamim weren't gozer the iser of sa'a b'sa'a. But the Hillel Oser, Hillel says even that's awesome. Even though you already have the wheat, betoch beso, and you just don't have access to it, it's still going to be awesome to borrow. The Maariv Chiyus has a whole arichus over here. Which Hillel is this? Is this Hillel HaZaken, who was the contemporary of Shammai, who lived 100 years prior to the Churban? Or is it the Hillel that's the son of Rabban Gamliel? And he's noted to say in the end that it was Hillel HaZaken, which is a little bit difficult because the Gemara in Shabbos says that Shammai and Hillel only argued about three things, and the Yerushalmi says that up until the days of Shammai and Hillel, there was only really one machlokas in Klal Yisrael, and Shammai and Hillel themselves only added three machlokas, and all the machlokas throughout Shas that we typically see are really between the Talmidim of Shammai and Talmidim of Hillel. So here we have Hillel again. Somebody doesn't seem to be one of the three, and it's not the one that was prior to the three. So he says, yeah, but that's not a problem because this could be that people of a later generation were arguing with Hillel HaZaken. So that could very well be, and that's not that wouldn't get counted on the list. But he thinks it is Hillel HaZaken. V'cheinoye Hillel Omer, and Hillel also said about Halva of Sa'a B'sa'a, that lotal the isha kikar lechaverta, a woman should not lend a loaf of bread to a friend, even though a loaf of bread is a davar mu'at, and we're going to see in the Gemara that a davar mu'at might be an exception, ad shetaseh adamim, unless they evaluate how much that bread is worth, and they say that's what you owe me. You don't owe me a loaf of bread. You owe me the $5 that loaf of bread is worth. Shemi yukru chitim, because maybe chitim will go up in value. And if you pay back a loaf of bread, it's going to be ribbis, because you're giving me back more value than I'm giving to you. So the Gemara brings a machlokas about halva asa b'sa when you have chitim in your house, which is the first part of our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Huna said, when our Mishnah says that if, as long as I have the chitim in my house, I'm allowed to borrow chitim with the understanding that I'm going to return chitim, yesh lo sa'a lo v'sa'a, sasayim lo v'sasayim. That means I can borrow as much chitim as I happen to have in my house. Meaning if I have one sa'a of chitim in my house that I currently don't have access to, I can borrow one sa'a of chitim. If I have two, then I could borrow two. But I cannot borrow two if I only have one in my house. So Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees. He says, afil yesh lo sa'a lo v'la kama korin, that even if I only have one sa'a of chitim, I'm able to be to borrow many kor of chitim, because since I'm not really being makna the chitim that I have in my house to you, so because I could eat them, I'm allowed to sell them, I'm allowed to pay the malva from other chitim that I'm going to get from the shuk at some later date. It's just that the chachamim consider it as if I'm being makna the chitim that I have in my house. So since I have sa'a achas, I could borrow many, many times I'll smach that sa'a achas. So even if it's kamakurim that I end up borrowing, that's going to be perfectly fine. The Rivan is quoted in Tosos over here that yeah, but I'm not allowed at one time borrow more than a sa'a of chitim, because at one time then it certainly doesn't match. You know, so yes, I could do many times. I could borrow a sa'a of chitim today, right now, and then in 10 minutes, and then another sa'a in 10 minutes, but not all at one time. Whereas Tosos themselves disagree and they say, nah, you don't even have to be careful about that. You could do many si'in all at one time. So that's the machlokas. What exactly Rabbi Yitzchak is being matir over here? He's definitely being matir borrowing more than you have. But the question is that all at one time, or is it only ze achar ze? So Gemara brings a raya to Rabbi Yitzchak that you're allowed to borrow more than you have. Tani Rabbi Chia, we have a brisa, the suya of the Rabbi Yitzchak, that serves as a raya to Rabbi Yitzchak. So the brisa says, you're not allowed to borrow wine from someone almanas to give him back wine, right? That's b'sa. But tipas yayin, that's only if tipas yayin ain lo. That's only if you don't have a drop of wine at home. I'm not allowed to borrow oil with the deal that I'm going to pay you back oil, because that's b'sa. But that's only if tipas shemen ain lo. That's only if I happen to not have a drop of oil in my house. But all I need is a drop. Sounds like as long as I have a drop of wine, a drop of oil, I could borrow whatever I want. So that's like the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. And then we said the Hillel Oser, that Hillel Osers, even if I do have stuff in my house, I'm not allowed to borrow. So I'm Rav Nachman Shmuel, halachik divrei Hillel. Shmuel paskins like Hillel, says the Gemara, but v'lesach, say, we don't paskin like Hillel. We paskin like the Tanakhama, that if Yeshlo b'toch beso, then you're allowed to do sa'a b'sa'a, as long as you have the commodity in your house. And not only do we not paskin like Hillel, Tosfos writes, we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak's version of not paskining like Hillel. Right? We had a machlokas. If you don't paskin like Hillel, can you only borrow up until the amount that you've got at home, or can you borrow even more than the amount that you've got at home? We paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak that you could borrow even more than the amount that you have at home. The Chena Hillel Amar Lo Tal the Isha, and Hillel also said that a woman is not allowed to lend a kikar of lechem to her friend unless they say, okay, this kikar of lechem is $4.99, so you owe me not a kikar of lechem, you owe me $4.99. So I'm Rabbi Yom Shmuel, zo divrei Hillel, that which we say you can't lend a kikar of lechem, that's only the shita of Hillel. Aval chachamim omrim, but the chachamim disagree and they say, lo v'stam parim stam, you can borrow a kikar of lechem, something like that, and you can pay back a kikar stam, even if the wheat goes up in value and a loaf of bread is now worth more than it was worth at the time that you borrowed it. You don't have to pay back in money, you can pay back in a kikar. And the reason is, it's not ribbis, because the chum were not so machmir to be medaktik in an isra of sa b'sa when it's such a dover muat. Meaning sa b'sa is not ribbis doraisa, it's not ribbis ktsutza, it's ribbis midrabban. And the rabban are going to be so machmir when it's just a dover muat, when it's a pound of flour, so to speak, meaning when it's not a significant amount of a commodity. V'yamar avidom r'shmol, b'nei chabura, if you have people that are traveling together or live together, maybe they share an apartment or something, and everyone has their own food, hamakpitin ze al ze, and they are not mochel to each other, even a dover muat, they don't lend to each other unless they measure it all out, and they weigh it all out, and they count it all out. So if they're going to lend to each other, the way Rashi understands, on Shabbosos and Yom Tovim, then over Mishum, they're in violation of Mida, of measuring on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mishum Mishkal, or weighing on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mishum Minyan, counting on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mishum Lov and Uparin B'Yom Tov, and also for borrowing and paying back on Yom Tov, Ukedivrei Hillel, Af Mishum Ribbis, and according to Hillel, they're even in violation of an Isser of Ribbis. In Masechta Shabbos, the Mishnah says that it's mutter for a person to borrow from his friend on Shabbos, kade yayin v'shemen, to borrow a wine or oil or something like that. Ublach lo yomar halveini. You just can't use a lashon of halva'a. You could say a lashon of she'ela, but not a lashon of halva'a. Because she'ela is something I borrow and I pay back. Halva'a is that I pay back with cash, normally, that I borrow money and I pay back money. Halva'a typically is for a longer period of time, and you have to be choshesh that you might come to write down a halva'a. So halva'a is much more of a business transaction, whereas a she'ela is much less of a business transaction. It's more of a friendly transaction that you do with neighbors. So the b'nei chabura that are makbir on each other don't want to mention the lashon of she'ela, Tosfos points out, because the mashmaus of the lashon is that you're going to return the very item that you borrowed. A halva'a implies you're not going to return the very item that you borrowed, you're going to return back money. So that's what it means, that they're violating lov and uporim, because they're so makbid on each other that it's much more of a business transaction, and that's why they're in violation of lov and uporim b'yom tov. V'amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel says another heter of lending money and borrowing, lending and borrowing with ribbis. Tamid Chum mutarim lilvos zemizeh b'ribbis. Tamid Chum could borrow and lend to each other with ribbis of a davar muat, it means of a small tiny amounts of ribbis. My time, I made the adi, the ribbis asura, matanu, b'diavad adadi. Since they know that ribis is aser, whatever they're going to give is only going to be b'taras matana. They know not to give it b'taras ribis. Amle Shmuel avua bar ihi. Shmuel said to his friend avua bar ihi, halvei meya pilpulin b'meya ve'esrin pilpulin. Lend me 100 pilpulin and I'll give you back 120 pilpulin v'arich. And it's perfectly fine to do that. It's not ribis because it's a matana. I'm just going to give you the extra 20 as a matana. Amar of Damrav, mutalal adam lahavos, banav ubnei beso. Another exception to the issue of ribis, a person is allowed to lend to his children beribis, kedei latim atam ribis, in order that they should understand and get a sense of just how terrible it is to be charged ribis. So since the Rashi points out in Masech HaShabbos that since whatever you're lending to them, whatever they're giving back to you is all yours anyway, right? It's like when children buy their mother a Mother's Day gift, right? Meaning they're just using her money to buy her whatever. But so it's all yours anyway. So since they're doing that anyway, it's not a violation of ribis, and it's a chinuch opportunity to show them. Doesn't this feel lousy that you borrowed X from me and now you have to pay back X plus Y? V'lav milsihi mishum dasi the misruch. Says Gemara, terrible idea, because they're going to come to say, wow, it's a really good deal Dad is getting. You know, that seems like a good business. You know, probably don't even need even much of an education for that. You could just lend money and take back more money. So you're going to get them all excited about that opportunity. So says the Mishnah, Omar Adam Chaveru Nakesh Imi. A person can ask a person to help him work his field, to weed his field. Nakesh Imach, and in payment, instead of paying you a wage, a salary, I'll do the same for you in your field tomorrow. Adori. You'll help me dig my field, and I'll dig your field tomorrow. But lo yomar lo nakeshi mi ve'adorimcha, adori mi nakeshimcha. What you shouldn't do is say you do work, a certain work in my field, and I will work for you with a different malacha entirely, because one malacha may be more difficult than the other malacha, and that's going to be like ribis, that I'm giving him back more than whatever he's giving me. Kol Yimei Gorid, throughout the entire summer months where the land is very dry, Echad, it's all considered the same. Kol Yimei Revia Achas, in the rainy months when the land is very moist, it's all considered the same. And therefore, I can tell you, work with me one summer day, and I'll work with you one summer day, again, as long as the malachos line up. As long as it's the same malacha that you're doing for me, I'm going to do for you. But lo yomar lo charosh yimei begarid, v'ani achrosh yimcha berevia. What you can't do is say, okay, you work for me in a summer day, and I will work for you with the same avod, the same malacha, on a winter day. So that you're not allowed to do. That's ribis. Meiri points out, even if you can't do the opposite either, because sometimes the winter days are harder than summer days. Sometimes summer days are harder than winter days. So in either direction, you're not allowed to do it. Rabbi Gamliel says, even though minat Torah there's no issur ribis, unless it's ribis ketzutza that you decide in advance exactly how much money you're paying back beyond the money that you're borrowing. Yesh ribis mukdemes, yesh ribis mucheres. There is such a thing, that at least midrabanan, of ribis mukdemes and ribis mucheres. To prepay in order to encourage a guy to give you a loan, or after you already paid back the loan, to then throw in an extra gift. So Kate said, you decide that you really want to borrow money from somebody, so you send them a matana prior to the loan, and you say, b'shvil shatalve, that this is so that you, this is to encourage you, to let it, looking forward to doing business with you, right? So you send them a gift and with a note, looking forward to doing business and to borrowing money from you. Zui ribis mukdemes, that's ribis mukdemes. Love amen v'hichslos mosav, or I borrowed money, I already paid back the money, v'mishaleach lo, and I send you flowers for Shabbos, and Omer, b'shvil mosecha shayu b'telos atzli, I appreciate the fact that you allowed your money to lie dormant with me, meaning you could have been doing something with that money during that time that I had the money, and you had it all tied up in me and whatever I needed to do. So this is my appreciation for that. Zui ribis mucheres. That's an issur drabanan called ribis mucheres. Now the Torah writes that such a ribis is only usur if you say that's why you are sending it. But bestam, it's going to be mutter. And then, but he quotes from the Rambam that even bestam, it's going to be usur. The Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch that bestam, it's mutter, but only if it's a matana mu'etes. If it's a matana meruba, then it's kimefarish. Then it's considered as if you're saying it straight out, and that's going to be That's going to be Aser. The Shach quotes it in Beis Yosef that if you send it as Man Meruba after the Halva, a long time after the Halva, it's Mutar B'Stam even B'Matana Meruba. So you're not allowed to say it, but you're allowed to do it, right? So you could send the person who lent you money and you already paid back, you could send them Flour of Shabbos, but you're not allowed to say this is for an appreciation of the loan. You could just say, thank you, you could just say Good Shabbos, you know, and that's it. Rav Shimon Omer, Yesh Ribis Devarim. There's another type of ribis called ribis devarim, that you don't give him anything that has value, you're just saying things to him that you otherwise wouldn't say to him, nice things to him. Lo yomer lo, the lovish not say to the malva, da ki ba'ish ploni mimakum ploni, that you should know a certain person came from a certain location, when you know that the malva could benefit from that knowledge, that you're giving him a tip, and had you, the malva not lent you money, you never would have given him that helpful tip. Ve'elu avim belosa say, the following people that are involved in the ribbis arrangement are in violation of a lo sasei. Hamalva, lova, areva, edim, and the chab mamrim afasofer. That the lender, the borrower, the co-signer, the edim, and the chab say the sofer is writing the shtar is also in violation of a lo sasei. Over mishum, and the potential averos that one could be violating, the Gemara will go through who's violating which of these averos, lo sitein, which is pasukas kaspcha lo sitein lo b'neshech, umishum altikach meito, and also a violation of altikach meito. That's another Isser in the Torah. Umishom losimun lav neshach. Umishom lefnimer lositin mitzvah liyashem elokecha ani Hashem. So five, this past week's parsha. So five violations of Isserim d'oraisa with ribbis. Tanya Rav Shimon b'Chayyomer minayin lo shebechaver mana. Ve'ino rogel haktim lo shalom shasur la haktim lo shalom. How do I know that if someone lent you $100 and you don't normally greet him very nicely, that you're not allowed to now greet him differently and be makdim lo shalom, because that's ribis dvarim tamalomer, because the pasuk says nesha kol davar asher yishach afilu dibur aser. When it says kol davar, it means even dibur is going to be aser. That's how we darshan sometimes the word davar to mean dibur. Veilu over, and then we said, and the following people are in violation of a lo sasei. So we mentioned all four or five different parties that could violate a lo sasei, and the five different lo saseis that could be violated. So Amar Abaye, malda over b'kula, the guy who's lending money b'ribis is in violation of all five psukim that we had mentioned in the Mishnah. Lova over, and the lova violates three of the lavin, mishum lo sashech lachicha, neshech hesav, neshech hoch, neshech hodav asher yishach, and also lachicha lo tashich, and v'lifnivir lo sitin michshol. Arev Eidim are over Mel Mishum L'Simin Lav Neshech, and the Arev and Eidim are only in violation of L'Simin Lav Neshech because they're helping in the writing of the Shtar, which is the Simas Ribis. So it's those Simun Lav Neshech. So Gemara brings a brisa in terms of how bad Ribis is. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Malvei Ribis Yosef Mashem Marvichim Mafsidim. More than they're going to benefit from the Ribis, you know, by making money off of the Ribis, more than they gain, they're going to lose, because part of the Onesh of lending money with ribbis is you lose your money. The Chassam Sofer says it's normally the Torah's punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishments are mida keneged mida. So you're gonna suffer exactly what you violated. But halva b'ribbis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes back from you more than you violated, because that's ribbis. Meaning, so it's dafka mida keneged mida to take back more than you violated. So you made X amount of money by lending money with ribbis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away from you more money than that, and that gufa is the lack of mida keneged mida. Gufa is the mida keneged mida. The Marsha writes in Chidush Agados that people who lend money with ribbis think that they're not really taking ribbis; they're just taking a chelik of the revach that the lova has. Meaning, why is this guy borrowing money from me? Because he's starting a business and he's going to make money in that business. So I'm not really taking ribbis; I'm taking a portion of. He's going to make money hand over fist. He's going to make so much money in this new business. It's such a great idea. So I'm just taking a portion of that which he's making. So Rabbi Shimon is saying, no, they're mistaken, because more often than the guy makes money, he loses money. He has what he thinks is a great idea, and he's still going to have to pay more. So you're not taking just the revach. So that's what the Marsha points out. Lo od, and not only that, is he going to lose more money than he makes. He's declaring Moshe Rabbeinu to be a chacham, and the Torah's Moshe to be emes, which sounds like a wonderful thing going to do. But that's Lashon Sagi Nahar. What we're saying is that by lending money with ribbis, he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is not a chacham, and the Torah is not not emes. But Omrin, and it says, if he's saying, Ilua Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu, Shia Revach B'davar Lo Yakoso, if Moshe Rabbeinu knew how much money you could make by starting a bank and lending money with ribbis, he never would have written an Isser for that in the Torah. So that's obviously apikorsis to say something like that. So a person should not lend money with ribbis. Kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar minay lenoshu b'chaver mana v'yodea she'in lo. How do I know that if you lend somebody money without ribbis, you see, you lend someone money and you know that he doesn't have the money to pay you back, sha'asur la'avor lefanav. You're not allowed to always appear in front of him in order to remind him that he owes you money. Meaning you're doing that just to drive him nuts so that he'll, you know, to remind him. And it will cause him a great aggravation knowing that he doesn't have the money to pay you back. So Tamil Omar, because the Pasuk says, it says in Kesef Tal Vesami Asani Imach, it says, Lo Siya Lo Kenosha, that when you lend money to somebody, Lo Siya Lo Kenosha, that you're not allowed to appear to him as if you are no shebo, as if you are pressing him for the money. And by doing that, by appearing in front of him, you're and embarrassing him, it's being Kenosha. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Damar Tavayu, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi both said that if the Malva violates this and continues to appear in front of the Lova, even though he knows that the Lova does not have with what to pay, it's as if you're punishing him with two separate onshim. That we darshan, that when a person is nosha, it's as if we have come into fire and water, that he's punishing us with both fire and water. The Maharsha explains that when the Malva appears in front of the lover becomes very embarrassed. So when a person becomes embarrassed, their face turns red, and then the blood drains, and they turn white. Very similar to what the Gemara says about Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabim. Now, Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabim means that you normally embarrass someone, their face turns red. Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabim means you embarrass them so badly that their face turns red, and then all the blood drains, and they turn white like a ghost. So that's two different dinim, the Ha'adamas Panim and the Halbanas Panim. Ha'adamas Panim is mitoldas ha'esh. Halbanas panim is mitoldas ha'mayim. So that's why we say it's as if you were done them be'esh u'b'mayim, because of the hadama and the halbana of the face of the person. Another iser of lifnei iver that might be violated when someone lends somebody else money. Amrav demrav, kol mi sheyesh lo ma'us u'malva osan shelo be'edim. If a person has money and he lends it out to somebody else without insisting that edim witnessed this loan, over mishum lifnei. That's a violation of Lifnei Iver, because he's causing it that the Lova is going to deny, he's making it too easy for the Lova to just deny the loan. And therefore you're being machshil him in Isser Gezel. That's how Rashi writes. Now it doesn't mean that he's going to do it b'mezid and he's a Rasha and that he's going to deny money that he bought, because if that's the case, then even if you were malvah him b'edim, you have to be choshesh and it'll be toin parati, because a malvah's chaver b'edim, he's he's not going to have to pay you back. Edim, he could always taina the prati. No, we're just choshesh that if you're malv without edim, he'll forget that he borrowed the money and he'll deny it because he'll forget. He'll really believe his denial. But when you have edim, even though he's not going to, he may forget, the edim will remind him. That's how the Lech Mishnah understands that. It's not by Rishi Yaskin, and we're not only dealing about Rishayim, even when you're dealing with good people tend to forget. Why does the Lech Mishnah say this? Because it's muchach in the Hemshah of the Gemara this way. We're about to see it's Mucha in the Gemara, that even when we're dealing with good people, or maybe even especially when we're dealing with good people who have a lot of other good things on their mind, maybe they don't have a head for business to think about how much money they owe different people, so that's why you dafka want Edim. However, the Bach and the Prisha and the Maram Shif write that it's only a violation of Lifnei Iver if you're Choshesh that the guy is going to be Kofer B'mezid. So unlike what the Lech Mishnah says, the Ritva points out that it's not an Isser Mamish over here, it's a Midas Chasidus. We're saying it's not really Lifnei Iver to lend somebody money, it's a little too indirect for it to be Lifnei Iver. We're just saying a Midas Chasidus to stay away from even anything that resembles Lifnei Iver. But anyway, that was Rabbi Yudah Merav, that if you lend somebody money without insisting on Edim, it's a violation in some form of Lifnei Iver. Reish Lakish Amar, Gorim Klala Liatzim. It's more than that. You're causing yourself to get cursed, because when you ask for the Chov back and he denies that he ever borrowed the money, everyone's going to curse you and say, well, you're trying to get money that's not yours. Everyone's going to believe the other guy. No one's going to believe you. The Pilpul Harifta on the bottom of the Rush is Medayik from the fact that Reish Lakish says, that Reish Lakish does not say, Af Gorim Klal Liatzmo, he just says Gorim Klal Liatzmo, that it sounds like he disagrees with Rav, and he says that it's not Lifnei Iver, because you're not being Machshulim in any Isser B'Shas Maisa. It's only that you're Gorim Klal Liatzmo, and if you don't really care about being Gorim Klal Liatzmo, then it's going to be Mutter, right? Nafkamina would be, whether it's Lifnei Iver or Gorim Klal Liatzmo, is what if I'm not Machmid? I don't mind if people curse me out. So then it's it would be Mutter, according to Reish Lakish, and Asr, according to Rav. However, Pupulich Rif says, it's important to note, both the Rif and the Rush quote Rav and Reish Lakish. So it sounds like they hold that Reish Lakish is not arguing on Rav, he's just adding to Rav that yes, it's Lifnei Iver, and in addition to being Lifnei Iver, it's also Gorim Klal Liatzmo. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Te'almana Sifsei Shekara Dovros Al Tzadik Atak, that they speak about a Tzadik Atak, something that's not true, meaning that they're going to curse someone who's Motzi Laz on a Tzadik, that since the people are going to think that he was Motzi Laz on an innocent person, on a Lova, everyone's going to think didn't really borrow the money, because the guy's denying that he borrowed the money, so everyone's going to be Mekalil him. Why is everyone going to believe the Lova? So the Marsha writes, because he has a Cheskas Kashrus, so you can't take him out of his cheskas kashrus by your claiming that he owes you money, that and you're no geir b'davar, obviously. So therefore, people are going to think that you're lying, and they're going to believe the other guy. So the Gemara says, and we have a maisa that backs this up. Amr le Rabbanan Ravashi, kamekayim Ravina kalmado amr Rabbanan. They said, you should know, Ravina is a very firm person. He's makbid to be mekayim everything the Chum say. So Ravashi wanted to see, is that really true? Is Ravina so makbid to do everything the Chum say? So Shalach Rav Ashi sent to Ravina Badi Panya Demali Shabbata at the busiest time, right, on Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos was about to start, and he Dafka wanted to bother him at that time in order to test him to see if he's at such a time of Tirda he's gonna fall prey to the trap. So he said, Lishli Mara Sara Zuzi, do me a favor, send me 10 Zuzim that I could borrow. Disrami li Katina Dara Limizban. I just had a great business opportunity, but I gotta jump now. I gotta take advantage of it right now. So can you please lend me X amount of money? So Shalach Leis, Ravina said to Ravashi, sure, no problem. Nesi Marsa Hadim Nichtav Ksava. Bring Edim to my house. We'll write a shtar on the halva'a, because there's no way I'm gonna do this without Edim. So as long as you bring Edim, we write a shtar, I'm happy to do it. On Erev Shabbos, as it's about to be Shabbos. So Shalach Leis, Ravashi says to Ravina, Afilu Anon Nami? Well, even for me, I'm a big Tamil Chacham, you know that I'm good for it. You're Choshesh, and I'm going to deny the loan, and that's going to be Lifnei Iver. So Shalach Leis. So Ravina said back, that Adrabba, Kol Shekein Mar, the Torah Begirsei, you don't understand, it's the biggest compliment. I know how much you're always thinking and learning, you're always Torah Begirsei. So Mishtali, so you're more likely to forget about the Halva'a. And when I ask about for it, you're going to be Kofar, not because you're a Rasha, but you're going to be Kofar, because you don't think about money. The Garim Klala Liatzmi, and therefore you're going to cause a great Klala for me. So the Ritva points out, someone to bring a Raya, that even if the Lova writes B'Ksav Yado, that he borrowed money from him, meaning the Lova just says, Ploni borrowed money on Yom Ploni, or whatever, from so-and-so, that the Lova is going to be Neman to say Parati, and therefore, even if the Lova writes B'Ksav Yado, you're still not allowed to borrow without Edom, because we have to be Choshesh, that maybe he's going to forget, and he's going to say Parati, because otherwise, why did Ravina insist that they bring Edom and the writer Shtar? He could have just said, write me a note, write me a quick IOU. So from the fact that he didn't say write me a quick IOU, it shows you that that's not good enough. But the Ritva says that that's not really true. That really writing an IOU is good enough. But he said it's not a raya, because it could be that he didn't have time to write a note right now. So he was saying, just bring Edom, they'll see the transaction, and then after Shabbos, they'll write the shtar. That's what he was telling him, because he didn't have time to write the IOU at the moment. So let's finish up. Parag Tan Rabbanan. Shlosha Tzoak and Venim Nanim. There are three people that cry out in front of Beis Din, and Beis Din pays no attention to them. Ve'eluhain, and they are I mean, the reason the Beis Din pays no attention to them is because it's their own fault, the position they're in. They are Mishiyesh Lamos Mavos on Shlo Beidim, someone who has money and he decided to lend them to somebody else without any Eidim, so that's his own fault. Vakona Adon Liatzman, someone who acquires a master for himself, Umishiyesh Tomashal Salav, and someone whose wife rules over him and he's not able to be Megarish her because he owes her so much money in the Ksuba. So Kona Adon Liatzman Maihi, what's an example of Kona Adon Liatzman? The other two, we understand what it means. Zikadamri Tolin Chasub Nachri, some say that he says about all of his properties that they really belong to a certain Nachri, so people shouldn't know that he's rich. He doesn't like that people know that he's rich and they're always coming to collect from him and to ask him for things. So he just says, oh no, it belongs to my partner, the guy. You know, we just have a terrible arrangement where he owns 99% of the business. I only own 1% of it. It all belongs to him. Because the guy's going to hear him say that. He's going to say, oh, okay, I have him on record. He can record it, right? And then he has him admitting that he owns the whole business. Others say it's when he writes a shtar that his children own his nechassim while he's still alive, and his children are going to take his nechassim. And others say it's when he's not doing well in a particular location and he's not familiar with he doesn't take advantage of shinu makom shinu mazel, that he should move somewhere else where maybe he'll have a greater level of success. So hajmul chesed neshach, you made it. We're at the end of chesed neshach. Tomorrow we'll pick up with hasocher haso umnin. Everyone have a wonderful day.